Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And, Team 980 is, at the Team 980 is where you can go to watch the show, not only live, but on demand. And then when you watch it either place, you can leave comments on it. And then we also have plenty of comments that we look at over at the Craig Hoffman YouTube page, where we also just reached 10,000 subscribers, which all becomes relevant information. I'm just telling you this for fun. It's because that all winds up in this segment.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, let's dive into it. Never read the comments style, except for we do actually read the comments. And we've put a lot of time and effort into this whole YouTube thing, Anthony, to the point that on the at Craig Hoffman YouTube page, just before the new year, we reached 10,000 subscribers. Hey!
I wish I had my
your air horn,
my drop of the applause.
Oh, applause, air horns. Would have taken anything.
Instead,
I get a tepid applause from Anthony. There we go. Aggressive applause from Anthony. Made a little thank you video, and Anthony, you were thanked in it. Obviously, is a enormous contributor to the show. Some would say the most key outside of me, because we've talked about it. Anthony couldn't host the show. He doesn't want to host the show. He doesn't. No, he's fine in the role that he's in. I wish people that aren't watching right now could see the grin on your face. Yeah, nope, that is 100% correct.
Yes.
So made a little thank you video, which actually led to some really heartwarming stuff, Anthony. I got this from Dave. Dave in DC, 9221 says, you're on a positive way to your goals. The Commanders making the playoffs and or showing a positive product will really help. I agree. I did thank Jaden Daniels, Adam Peters, and Dan Quinn in the video, Anthony.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know where my bread's buttered. I'm still objective, but I know what's good for me.
Yeah.
Your insight, even though I do not always agree, is really meaningful, especially when you talk about play evaluation explanation. Why players struggle rather than saying they are no good is refreshing. Best of luck. Thanks, Dave. That comment actually meant a lot. Hey, I don't always agree with you, but I appreciate the way you go about your business. So I appreciate that. Oh, God, I didn't copy and paste the username on this next comment, and it was really touching. So I have to look this up for a second, Anthony. Bear with me, Anthony. Bear with me, audience, for one moment as I try to figure out where this comment came from and try to do it as efficiently as possible, something that I'm failing at miserably. If I click on that and then I click on the comments section and I click on that filter, then I can say this comment is from Isaac Montoya. And people, you'll understand, I promise, in a second why I wanted to make sure I gave Isaac credit for this. Isaac Montoya, he's got a bunch of letters and stuff, but Isaac writes, Craig, this past semester I went through EMT school, which was long hours on top of work, and one of the things I most look forward to was listening to your videos on the hour-long drive home. Not only did it keep me sane fighting San Antonio traffic, it was also a robust escape from drowning in so much anatomy and physiology. Thanks for making quality content and putting it on YouTube for Commanders fans like me who don't live in the DMV and can't make the live stream. Please keep it up. They should have put your name somewhere on my EMT certification as credit for helping me get through school. That's cool as hell, Anthony.
That's super cool.
Isaac, salute. Thank you. I think I wrote this back in a comment, but I'm going to say this on here too. Isaac, thank you for dedicating your career, your vocation to serving others. An EMT is obviously such a tremendously important job, and there's a lot of stuff you have to deal with as an EMT. And so salute to you for choosing that as a valiant career path while goofballs like me talk about sports. And it's one of the things that in a moment of sincerity here, you know, there are times when this job feels wholly unfulfilling because there's so much real stuff that's happening in the world. And there are times that I've talked to people who do stuff like Isaac in the real world that I feel like is a much bigger contribution to society than talking about sports. And often they will say, like, I need people like you or the actors that make films or musicians that make music, creators, entertainers, to help me get through my day to do my job. And that makes me feel a little bit better about doing this. And I realize that is on some level self-serving so that I feel better about myself. But I do hope that we're doing this for more than just the paycheck, that there is the connection we have with the audience. And it's very cool when you guys share stories like that. So Isaac, again, salute. I'm sorry you live in a place with terrible traffic. At least you have tremendous tacos and other great Mexican food down there in San Antonio. And the Riverwalk. And you can make fun of Charles Barkley.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Charles Barkley, San Antonio, long history of battle. So in that video, Anthony, last thing on the thank you video, real quick before we dive into the Commanders and Cliff Kingsbury, stay or go, and some of the other things that we talked about this past week and people left comments on. In the video, Anthony, there was some of the footage of you in the rooster sweater and the glasses and the hat, because of course there was. And Steve Moody says, after the little tease, I want a full video of Anthony lip-syncing the Humpty Dance. Yes, I'm old as hell.
I like that song too, though. But I don't know if I can fulfill that promise.
I mean, that would be a pretty funny... Because, Anthony, the Wheel of Mediocre Punishment was for the regular season.
It was.
And we did say that whoever lost... like the full season's worth was going to have to do something more severe.
Really?
I do think that that was the case.
Are you making this up?
No, I think that's real. If you sweep the playoffs, I do think there's a chance I could still lose. But what if it was you that you had? We filmed a music video of you in the rooster sweater with the fedora and the glasses on, a full Anthony Haney Humpty Dance music video.
One, I would really get into it. Just
you probably would. It actually would be really funny. It actually wouldn't be very much punishment. It would be more punishment for me to edit the thing.
Yeah, that's right. I think I would thoroughly enjoy it. Is that really a punishment at that?
No,
at that point,
it's not. But it is a great idea for content.
Then if you lose,
I had to do it, that would be punishment. I would be mortified. I would just have to get into it so I could survive the thing.
Yeah,
embracement for survival. All right, let's get into some Commanders shenanigans, shall we? And again, thank you everybody for the kind words. Thank you for subscribing. 10K. The goal, by the way, Anthony, for 2025, double it. It's taken us 2 years to get to 10K. I want to get to 20K in 1 year.
Let's
do it,
man.
We got to get 28 new subscribers a day on average.
That's good math. Or did you calculate that?
I did that.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say.
I think I did that off the top of the dome right now. Get the hell out of here. Do you know me? Come on. All right. Two enormous topics for the week. One, talking about Jaden Daniels and the decision to remove him from the Dallas game is how I'm going to say that. Not bench him. Remove him from the Dallas game. But first, on Cliff Kingsbury and whether or not he would stay or go when he gets job offers, which inevitably he'll at least get interview requests. He's already got a couple for the head coach openings around the NFL. Brian Mulholland, or actually, first, let's, before Brian had a big long comment that I want to read. But you had people both ways saying, for instance, Sci-Kai Buddy 4603, Cliff is staying one more year at least. Leaving Washington, a 12-win team, would be taking five steps back to get a bad ball club off the ground, go and try to win a Super Bowl, and then go coach, as in head coach. Then you have people like Butler32X, who says he better take any job that he can. I am of the thought that none of the current jobs available are actually that appealing. I will say the Raiders firing Tom Telesco today as their general manager to match Antonio Pierce getting fired yesterday makes the Vegas job jump up my rankings, because it is the only non-Jets job that has a GM opening as well as a coach opening. So if you are, for instance, trying to move to the front of the Ben Johnson, coach hierarchy of where he might want to finally leave if he leaves Detroit, he probably wants to take Commander's assistant GM Lance Newmark with him to be the general manager. That's been rumored around the league, but let's say it's not Newmark, it's someone else, whoever that person is. And if you're a coach somewhere else, maybe you want to take someone with you that's a general manager to make sure that you're on the same page. Vegas is the only place that has that. And you have an owner with resources and that will spend. And, you know, they talked to Cliff about the OC job last year. I don't know that they're going to, that Cliff is going to want to go back to Vegas on that front, but who knows? We'll see. Brian Mulholland, 2467, says, though, here's the problem with being picky about your head coach opportunities. The quote-unquote good jobs, however you define them, don't open up very often. People like Andy Reid and John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin tend to sit on them for a decade plus. And the lesson of Bobby Slowick shows how quickly you can go from having the cachet to pick your destination to having no one return your phone calls overnight. I would also be skeptical of the opportunities that are out there right now, but how do you know the next years won't be worse? I hope Cliff stays. He really won me over after being a Cliff skeptic when he was hired. But if your objective is to be a successful head coach, I feel you have to go out and interview, and you have to do so seriously with the intention of taking the job if it's quote unquote good enough. Maybe none are good enough, but that's a dangerous game. I think this is a fine take from Brian, Anthony. I think you, in order to get a job, you first got to realize, like, okay, what's the job? And to find that out, you have to interview. But I also think part of it is I don't need to interview with the Jets. There's nothing Woody Johnson can tell me that would make me not believe all the things that I know to be true about Woody Johnson. It's like when Ron Rivera took the Commander's job and Dan Snyder was the owner. And he's like, oh, I can, you know, Dan's giving me all this power. I'll be able to run the ship. No, you're still working for Dan Snyder. The same buffoon has been running the team for 25 years straight into the ground. And guess what? He continued to run it into the ground, and now Ron Rivera likes to run around being like, if Dan hadn't been the owner, and it's like, you took the job. And I think that one of the biggest factors for a head coach's success is you have to be great at hiring other people. And in some ways, that includes hiring your boss, quote unquote. You have to understand who you're working for and if you can work for them. And I could see going to Vegas, talking to Mark Davis and being like, I can work with this guy. Now, I'd have a lot of questions about how many coaches he's fired after 1 year and some of the upheaval in that organization. But I could see that being the case. After listening to Shad Khan talk in Jacksonville, I wouldn't want to work for that guy. I don't think he understands how the league works. And so it really comes down to, do you want to get paid or do you want to be successful? And again, do you have to? Yes, the Pittsburghs. They don't come open very often. They've had three coaches since the 1960s. Baltimore, don't come open very often. Harbaugh's been there for, I think it's 17 years. But I do think you have to look at certain jobs that may not be as appealing on paper because the roster, for instance, is bad and go, that's temporary. We can change that. What you can't change is ownership and how the structure is within an organization. And if you are Cliff Kingsbury and you have an idea of that you want to lay down the structure of the organization your way, you either need to find somewhere where it's actually laid down your way already and the people there you can work with, or you have to find somewhere that's willing to give you a blank canvas and a long runway to actually build. And I don't know that any of the jobs on this market are going to do that. And if that means you're here for two or three more years, fine. He's getting paid head coach money until 2027 from Arizona. So I don't see the appeal of going and failing again, because that's the last thing I'll say, Anthony, about Cliff, is he's not a first-time guy. He's not someone that if he fails, people are going to be like, oh, he got bad ownership in Arizona and bad ownership in New York. They're going to be like, he's a two-time failed head coach. We're not hiring him again. This is his last shot.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I think you've, you know, stressed this the last couple of days, like money isn't an incentive for Cliff right now when it comes to the head coach openings. Like, it's not. It's more so, from what I'm gathering anymore, ownership, the roster, and I'm not even sure, like, which one or, like, which
I would hierarchy. Think ownership is more important.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, working with Caleb is appealing. Working with Trevor Lawrence to an extent is appealing. Working with Drake May is appealing. It's certainly more appealing than, oh, man, I got Derek Carr and Spencer Rattler. Like, if you go to New Orleans, you better know, like, it's probably going to be a couple years. But, like, look at how fast they flip the roster. And if I'm Cliff, like, I'm thinking about that. I'm like, man, I know that so much of the success is driven by five. And they had the number two pick in the draft, and they got it right, and they saw how fast it could flip. But I'm also like, hey, not many people here that were here last year. And a roster, too. This is something I was listening to the Athletic Football Show, which I feel like I listen to all the time and then wind up talking about on the show. But like Mike Sando was on. I think Mike's really smart. But Mike talked about like some of the coaches like looking at the rosters and he's like, you better build an O-line. And I'm like, that is, I don't want to say it's overrated, but I think we learned the lesson this year in Washington that who you are as a coordinator can change who your offensive line is. Yeah, the trenches are super important. Coaching them well can turn a mediocre roster into something you can win with. Of course, it's better that you would over time try to build something like Detroit and Philadelphia have, where they have the best offensive lines in football. But those lines are also coached well. I guarantee you, Eric Bieniemy could turn Detroit's offensive line into not as good of an offensive line as Ben Johnson has had it operating at the past couple of years. Like, it's mostly the same dudes here. Well, I guess not mostly the same dudes, but like mostly the same level dudes here. Like, I don't think people are looking at Nick Allegretti and like, wow, what an upgrade they got at left guard this year in Washington. People thought this was going to be the worst line in the league. They underrated how good Biotish was. But Andrew Wiley's still at right tackle. They have a rookie starting at left tackle. And they're way better because the way Kliff deploys them is intelligent. And the quarterback also elevates the offensive line. And so when you look at these rosters, I think, one, if you're someone like Kliff, who is a scheme guy, who is a schematics guy, you go, I can work with that in a way that the last coach couldn't. And two, you know how fast you can flip a roster. You want 30 new guys? And maybe not New Orleans because they're in cap hell. So it might be a two-year project there. But do you have good ownership? Do you have, if there's a GM in place, can you work with him? Because like Mickey Loomis, for instance, in New Orleans is an executive type. He's not actually a super scout. So if you want to bring in an assistant GM with you that he's willing to work with, and like that guy's kind of running your football department, that could be an appealing spot. You're just going to have to deal with a really crummy roster and a bad cap situation for 2 years. But I'd rather deal with that than knowing that my owner is going to meddle in everything we do, like the Jets, any day of the week. Any day of the week. Because also, the good ownership in a place like New Orleans will give you a longer runway. So if you're trying to find a place that's both, yeah, you're probably going to have to try to see if John Harbaugh wants to retire. But I do think that the ownership thing is the one that, like, that's just an absolute no-go for me. The other big topic of the week in the comments, Anthony, was about, obviously, we talked a lot about on Monday about how Jaden Daniels getting taken out of the Cowboys game was, I think, a fine move, but one that did not make a whole lot of sense as explained. I thought Michael Phillips put it absolutely perfectly when he joined us very briefly on Monday, when he was like, we know that you're not going to bench your quarterback for performance like you said you were doing here because you didn't when his rib was hurting for 3 straight weeks. Like, we all saw that. What are you talking about? And so I thought the couple comments that were really good on that front. Double Raven, double zero. So it spelled out double Raven and then 00, Anthony. But in my mind, that's double Raven, double zero.
So is the word double or is it Raven, Raven?
No, it's the word double, the word Raven, and then 2 zeros.
Okay.
But I think you say that out loud, double Raven, double zero.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Says, Quinn simply does not want to imply or admit that he was willing to lose the game to protect his quarterback. He doesn't want to hear that accusation. I think that's probably correct. I also think that's very silly because that's a perfectly fine thing to say in Week 18 when you've already clinched a playoff spot, which was my whole point. CE Jink 140. That's probably not how that's supposed to be pronounced. I like double Raven, double zero better. All due respect to Segink 140. Who knows, but I took it as we are going to do what's best for the team. And it was a physical game. Five was getting sacked, banged up. Five probably did have some soreness. And if they needed to win to make the playoffs, he probably would have stayed in. But it was more important to make sure he didn't get overly banged up or injured when their playoff spot was already locked. And further, Dallas was successfully mixing up the defense, resulting in Five not having the best game. So don't let this game damage his confidence or his body and see if Marcus can provide a spark. Just my 2 cents. Again, I don't really have a problem with that calculation. That's just not what Dan said, except for the spark part. He's like, if it was week 12 in the middle of the season, I would have made the same decision. And again, I have no problem with the decision because it would be silly not to factor in where you already are in the season and kind of the status of your quarterback and the way the game is going. He wasn't. There was something that was a little bit off. And if that was being caused by leg soreness, fine. And if that's enough that Dan would have actually benched him in week 12, fine. I just find that hard to believe because you want to let your quarterback, especially a young quarterback who you want to learn these lessons over time, you want to give him time to work through stuff. Also, Jaden said flat out in the postgame that had this not been week 18, they would have had to drag him off the field. So I don't believe that for a second. Which again, none of my issue was that it was the wrong move. It was just, don't lie to me. What's the saying, Anthony? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Yep.
Felt like my leg was getting peed on a little bit.
Yeah.
I did love this comment from James. James Hill 2518 says, DQ removing JD was a perfect move. Jaden is a humble student of the game. Trust and believe he learned from Mariota. I believe it will be a positive energy moving forward. I do love the point of, like, given that it was week 18, Jaden was like, hell yeah, let's let Marcus get some snaps. And he was the happiest person on the field when they went out and did what they did. Jaden's humility here, and knowing Dan, by the way, knowing that Jaden wouldn't be a problem with this in the press, no leaking to reporters of this or whatever, like, that speaks very well of Jaden, and it's part of what makes Jaden special. All right, last couple fun ones to end here, and then you'll hear from Cliff and you'll hear from Joe Witt Jr. coming up in the pick six at six. On the Benjamin St. Juice of it all, Gary Myers 7467 says, I've been saying he is bad from day one and he has lost a lot of games for us. Anthony, who's been the starting cornerback for most of December?
Corner?
For the Commanders? Yeah, corner.
We've had Mikey.
Yep. And who's on the other one?
BSJ and
Davis started once. Yeah. Lattimore had the game. I think Philly was like the first week.
Game and a half.
Yeah.
Or Lattimore.
How many games did they lose in December?
They didn't lose any.
Yeah. How many games did they win all year?
12.
How many games of those did BSJ start? Like 9 of them, probably?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. You can't, again, you don't have to overstate stuff to make your point. Yes, he has been bad a lot this year. There are certainly a lot of plays you can point to and be like, that's not good. He has lost us a lot of games. No, he hasn't, because they haven't lost a lot of games. Last but not least, during the postgame show, Anthony, called Marcus Mariota old because I said he had old man strength. And people were really upset about that. Although some were more jovial about it, including... Oathmane, I don't know how to say this. You know who you are. Calling Mariota old is crazy. He's only 31. Look, I'm 34.
Ah.
In about 6 weeks, I'll turn 35.
Ah.
I'm a young man. Stop laughing, you jerk. I'm a young man, but 31 in the NFL is old. It's NFL old. He's a young man in real life, but he's NFL old. That's all I meant. I say that with respect. He's got the beautiful salt and pepper going. But he did old man strength a dude. And there's nothing wrong with that. All right. That's never read the comments, everybody. You can leave your comments on YouTube at Craig Hoffman, at the Team 980. We read them. We pick out their favorite ones to respond to. Some are fun. Some are nonsensical. Some are interesting. If your comments are any of those things, maybe you'll hear them on this segment. And that'll be next Wednesday at 5:30, because that's when we do this live here on the radio. When we get back here on the Team 980, live on the radio, pick six at six, Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. You're here from both coordinators ahead of the weekend's wild card showdown against Tampa. Next.